Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, angels. This is Ananda of Love from the Love Channel, and I want to welcome you tonight. I want to start the show with a quote from the Holy of Holiest books that I've come to realize, and that is A Course in Miracles. And the quote is, "If you knew who walks beside you on the path you have chosen, fear would be impossible." And then I'd like to start with a meditation that I recorded, I guess around 4 years ago. It was a time of great joy and great sorrow, and it was spirit-guided. And to date, I have over 200,000 listeners to it, and every day it grows really rapidly, and I'm finding that people that listen to it are really feeling a difference in their lives, that they're starting to realize the I am in them. And so I felt it was appropriate to start this show, since I was guided to do a solo show tonight, a satsang, where I would just allow the highest within me to bring forth that which wants to be made known. And with that, I'm going to start the show with the I am meditation. So I ask you, wherever you are, whether you're listening live or you listen to this in archive, to just settle down for a moment. It's only a 5 minute meditation, and this is also available at a later date. You can listen to it every day as long as you want and as many times as you want on my mindmending.net site. But so I ask you just to sit and or lie down or just quiet your mind and take a deep, nourishing breath as we open to the I Am Presence.
I Am Affirmations by Florence Scovel Shen.
I am
read by Ananda.
I am well.
Time and space are obliterated.
I am.
I live in the wonderful now.
I am.
Birthless and deathless, I am one.
I am.
With the One. Thou in me art eternal joy, eternal youth, eternal wealth, eternal health, eternal love, eternal life. I am a spiritual being. My body is perfect, made in His likeness and image.
Joy.
The light of the Christ now streams through every cell. I give thanks for my radiant health. I am health.
I am love.
I am light.
I am
love.
Joy.
I am
youth.
I am the light
wealth
of the Christ
now
floods my eyeballs.
I
have the
love.
Crystal clear vision of the Spirit.
Life.
I see clearly and distinctly.
Joy.
There are no obstacles on my pathway.
I
see clearly
wealth.
The fulfillment of my heart's desire.
I
have the X-ray eye of the Spirit.
I
see through apparent
obstacles.
I see clearly the miracle come to pass.
I
have the crystal clear vision of the Spirit. I see clearly the open road. There are no obstacles on my pathway.
I
now see miracles and wonders come to pass. I give thanks for my perfect sight. I see God in every face. I see good in every situation. I have the crystal clear vision of the Spirit.
Joy.
I look up and down and all around. For my good comes from north, south, east, and west. My eyes are God's eyes, perfect and flawless. The light of the Christ floods my eyeballs and streams on my pathway. I see clearly there are no lions on my way, only angels and endless blessings. My ears are the ears of Spirit. The light of the Christ now streams through my ear, dissolving all hardness or malformation. I hear clearly the voice of my intuition and give instant obedience. I hear clearly glad tidings of great joy. The light of the Christ now floods my consciousness, dissolving all acid thought.
Joy.
I love everyone and everyone loves me. I give thanks for my radiant health and happiness. False growth. Every plant my Father in heaven has not planted
joy
shall be rooted up. All false ideas in my consciousness are now obliterated. The light of the Christ streams through every cell, and I give thanks for my radiant health and happiness now and forevermore. Heart disease. My heart is a perfect idea in divine mind, and is now in its right place, doing its right work. It is a happy heart, a fearless heart, and a loving heart. The light of the Christ streams through my every cell, and I give thanks for my radiant health.
I am light.
Oh, that was wonderful. It's really wonderful to be able to see and hear an aspect of myself speak to me in such high regard. And I would suggest anybody who likes the way this works, the I Am concept, to tape it for yourself in your voice so that when you speak to yourself on that level, it really does transform every cell in your being. Because everything that you feel and think and dwell on becomes your reality. So to make a tape like this really is a gift that you give yourself from the highest self within you that really knows what you are. It sees the perfection of what you are and who you are. I want to open the show with a breath, with a concept of breath. Because for me that is the clearest representative of the giver of all giving to me the life force. I know that when I allow the breath to be fully realized in me, that it is the gift that I've been waiting to be given from God. That really is the true connection that I always wanted, always will want, and the only truth there is the breath that I receive from God. And everything that happens after that is actually an extension of that moment. The in-breath, the receptive principle, the female I am, allows the male principle that I call the giver of all, or the creator himself, to assume life through me. And when he does that, when it does that, I do see and feel in the moment a sense of such complete joy. And, you know, the Satchitananda concept, it really is the concept of eternal bliss consciousness. And for me, Ananda has always resonated. And then recently, I guess about 2 years ago, I opened up to the concept of Satchit because it really does represent what my focus is, which is what the Course in Miracles would call the holy relationship. So for the last year now, my life has really been dedicated to the sacred union, or I would call the sacred reunion, whereas I know that when I realize that the only connection that I need to make is with my source is the giver of life. He gives me anything that I ask to receive. And because there is really no separation, I go right back to the concept that I use often is God is I am. Or, you know, the giver of all is I am. And when I assume the receptive principle as the receiver of what wants to be made known through me, and I don't claim possession for it, I don't own it. I don't need it. I just let it flow through me. It's an easy birth. I woke up numerous times this morning with such clear awareness about the birth process, the conception of the lovers, and how when the lovers meet, the intent is to reproduce a baby that is representative of the one love. It means so much for me to have this opportunity to speak this out loud, because I know that I'm only speaking to myself, and I'm listening now, where there might have been a point in time where I didn't hear. You know, I was realizing this week especially that my entire life, even though I was unconscious, I was being told in every moment where I'd be headed, that everything in my reality was showing me the ultimate experience of Ananda. And when I look back now in retrospect, I can see it. I can see it. And since there's no time, it's happening now. There are so many opportunities in every moment to allow oneself to become what it is meant to become, because we are all one, one infinite field of potential, and one of the multifaceted aspects and colors and frequencies of every sound and every color. And so when we realize that everything that wants to be made known will be made known if I just allow it to be made known through me, if I don't resist it. And the only reason that there is any kind of pain in my reality is because I don't allow it to be made known through me, because I either personalize it and want to own it and possess it, or I want to kill it. I want it to leave. I want it to go. The Course in Miracles' beautiful quote, that if I knew who walks beside me on the path I have chosen, that fear would be impossible. I ask you, do you know that you are one with God? Do you know that every step you take is a holy step? That every encounter that you make is a holy encounter? It's a blessed, holy union. That there is no mistakes in a reality, in any perceptual reality. All that we see is what we were meant to see, what we are given to see. And everything that we see is a reflection of what we accept or what we reject. I want to open the second half of the show to, really opening up the lines. I had a lot of difficulty in a lot of the shows in the beginning with the communication. I don't have a testing ground here. I don't have a co-host or anything to tell me if the sound's okay. But I'm assuming that there's a good connection tonight. And I'm assuming that at some point halfway through the show that there will be aspects of me that want to add to or look for completion through this experience tonight, that they want to leave with a full state of knowing the wholeness of being one with God. And for me, the concept of the in-breath, as I say, and the out-breath, the male and female principle, really is so basic. Because if I can understand that, if I breathe in and out equally, that my life will be joyous, that I will be, I am health. I will be, I am prosperity. I will be, I am loved. And it only takes that balance for everything to work right. And it doesn't matter what is occurring outside of me. When I go back to the breath, the in-breath, the female receives from the giver of all the life force. I am born again. I want to talk about the sacred union, as I said, because it's really everything that I am is based on, waking up the male and female principle with me and reuniting and becoming God again. And then walking in the kingdom of heaven, you know, the Garden of Eden, experiencing the love and the joy of being the whole relationship, the complete relationship. And last night I was given a wonderful gift. One of the girls that was on the show another night, Be Love, Deborah, and her, I guess her ACCA is Be Love, and that's what initially attracted me to her, because I say it all the time. She had sent in on her news feed, which I think is wonderful. I got that as a metaphor last night, that news feed. My news feed is in Fox Radio. My news feed is my Facebook page, which is full of love, joy, inspiration, higher consciousness. And then, so it was a Ram Dass series of four of audio tapes, video audio tapes, that were about the relationship. And it was about a special relationship which Course of Miracles calls a special love, a special hate relationship that ultimately ends in a negative space where there, you know, you realize that all idols will fall, there's really nobody outside of you. But he was talking about the relationship as a mandatory expression of the fullness of being loved. And that every relationship really is showing you the separate mind, and that God is infinite. God is everything. God is all there is. And so that God needs to see the separate state in order to see the wholeness. And again, this is all paraphrased, but for me, that's how I conceptualize it. That I need, Course in Miracles says it over and over again, that I need to see my brother. You know, where two or more meet in my name, there I am, is really the reflection of my state of awareness, state of being, state of allowing. And so that when I come together with another and I make a commitment to the giver of all to allow him to bring forth the body called God, I am, manifest, incarnated, God as himself, as my reflection, because it is given me first before I can see it. Because I can't see it in me, I can only see it reflected at me. So when I allow him to impregnate me with the deepest of love, and I accept it, it's made known. And this is how all relationships begin. They all begin with that initial attraction. And that initial attraction is all about coming back home to God. The conception concept is what I conceive in every moment I give birth to. And that's why I thought this was such a profound time, because it came through during the night and then in the morning, and I just kept on hearing that it's all about the union. It's all about meeting the other within, through God, and giving birth to the union. And what happens is that in most relationships that I've seen in the ego world, including the ones that I've had, what happens, and I give this illustration a lot when I teach, is that the female all of a sudden feels an attraction. And of course, that's not occurring outside. This is inside. All of a sudden, she's awakening to the love body within her. And he shows up and he's across the room and he is at the same state from his perceptual reality. But he, again, is in her, she's in him, because it's happening within. There is nothing in my perceptual understanding that is occurring outside of me but what I make in me, projected outward or extended through God. The projection is filtered. It's my fears. It's my doubts. It's my, you know, idea of love in the body. And then the other aspect, the extension of the love of God, is just peace and joy and love. And again, neither good or bad. They're all aspects of God in experience. But for this particular experience that I desire to bring through tonight, And I hope it is an experience. I hope whoever is listening gets the feeling of what I'm sharing here, because it's really coming from my heart. These two get together within, and the match is so divine that the bodies disappear. They don't see the other. They only see the love. They don't even see themselves. They just feel a state of such exhilaration and such joy that all they want is to join in love, love divine. There are no expectations in that moment. There is no judgment. There is just pure, unadulterated love. All they want is to be one. As soon as, and you know, a lot of people call that the honeymoon stage, but again, that's psychology. I'm going to go back to what's trying to come through me and not get out of my intellectual head that loves to get involved. So what happens then is now all of a sudden the fear concept comes back in within, and the resistance and the constrictions happen. And those constrictions all of a sudden cause pangs. And those pangs are, oh my God, did he just say that? Oh my God, I didn't see her before. You know, and then it ripples out, and fear becomes the only thing that they can see. And again, I've compressed it into one tiny spot of experience, and in truth, that's all there is, because there's no time. So there is love, and then there's fear. And as soon as fear enters the stage, they start turning away from each other. And there is always one that is in more fear than the other, and she runs. And so at that point, that's where there is heavy, hard, painful labor pains. That love nature that was given to the receptive principle, male, female, doesn't matter. God is the giver. He's not, you know, he doesn't have anything but to give what of himself. He's the creator. Excuse me. And he gives either the male or female, it doesn't matter, the breath of love, the life force. And as soon as she receives it, he receives it, there's exhilaration, and then there's doubt. And then there's fear. And then there's constriction. And now that baby that desires to be born through them, that was made to be born through them, is having a hard time being born. Such a hard time that the doctor doesn't think that they're going to make it, she's going to make it, that baby's not going to be born, and then eventually there's what I would call in my reality a miscarriage. And that's why relationships break up. And that's the only reason they break up. But the only reason that we are here on planet Earth is to reunite with love, with God. The whole relationship is, I give my heart to you, my love, my God. And when I do that, I need to stay pure. I need to be innocent. I need not to extend myself to look for another outside of myself. I have to be so certain that I have already been given that which God wishes me to receive, and that is the pure sense of love. And I don't know if you can see it the way I see it, but I feel it so strongly that every relationship that I've been in my life has been based on fear. Ananda of Love's relationships are all based on expectations, on bodies coming together rather than being together and seeing the fruits of their labor. Seeing the fruits of their hearts, remembering the love that is the true state that we are. So I really feel like the whole concept of male and female, female and female, male and male, it matters not, is all about God and his child. And then the other aspect of it is the lover and the loved, you know, the lovey, you know, that the sacred union is based on the infinite field coming together with a body called I am. So what I assume becomes my experience. And because I've become so aware that there is really nothing to do, no one to meet, and really nothing to say other than love. I am loved. I am loved. And to really feel that and resonate in that and only know love. And in that state, I become so innocent and so receptive to that which wants to make itself known through me. Love, wanting to be made through me. And then wherever I go, I meet that aspect of me. And though it may look like a child or a puppy or a man or a woman, you know, I am seeing love. I have a few situations in my life that really want to take me away from where I've chosen to stay, which is in the holy relationship, which is, you know, being vigilant for God and the kingdom of heaven, because I really feel it. I really feel so beautiful. I really feel so righteous. I feel like I am finally in right consciousness, that I am so ready to receive the kingdom of heaven. And it's always been with me. It's always been with you. There is nothing that's occurring that has not always been available to me, to you. So in my world, you know, I have a neighbor who's very hostile. And it's very sad because I'm an under of love. And I look at this aspect of myself and I say, doesn't he know I love him? Doesn't he know that he's beautiful? Doesn't he know that he is the perfection of being loved? And I had a hard time with it because it was really getting really crazy. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm still seeing it, because I really feel loved. And I feel like he should know it. So I stopped by the other day and I passed by and he was playing basketball. And I had to stop the car. And I looked at him and I said, how you doing? And he looked like he was shocked. He looked back at me, and he just shook his head, and he kind of smiled. And I said, that's it. This fear is still fear in me, because that body looks like a body, and it looks like it's separate from me, and it looks like it may want to hurt me. So I was only seeing my own fear outpictured, and I keep feeling myself seeing this guy all of a sudden absolutely transform, because when I change, he has to change. I am it in my perceptual reality. I truly either stifle humanity or I set them free. And anytime I'm constricted, anytime I'm not allowing the free flow and accepting the breath of life that God wants to give me, I will be in disease. And it doesn't matter if it's dispeaceful, it doesn't matter if it's a disease in the body, it doesn't matter what it is not the truth of being loved. So I feel naked, I feel innocent, I really feel for the first time in my life that I am so pure as Mary. You know, the concept of Mary, the virgin birth, you know? Every time I allow God to impregnate me with an idea and I just let it flow, that's what's occurring. The Christ is born. And that Christ is infinite. It doesn't have one name. It has every name. So when I meet my neighbor, I see the Christ. When I meet my neighbor in love, I see the Christ. When I meet him in fear, all bets are off. I'm back in hell. It doesn't matter how beautiful or how ugly. Eventually, I have to come back to the understanding that all there is God. All there is the Creator that desires have experiences through a vessel called Ananda of Love, called Jane Doe, called my neighbor who is a gangster. It doesn't matter. It's all such a beautiful reflection of God I am. And again, I want to open the calls. I want to open the chat room and open, you know, the airwaves to anybody who wants to call in and say whatever they want to say. You know, I was really guided to do this. And again, there's only me that I'm doing it for because I really needed to listen out loud. I needed to hear what wants to come through me. An awareness so profound came through me the other day. And this happens on a regular basis because I've become receptive. I've become the receiver of the satellite that wishes to make itself known through me. And I got the feeling and the state of remembrance of the TV, you know. At my time when I watched TV, which was many years ago, it was television. It was just, you know, channels. It wasn't like it is now, cable. And I remember, you know, my mother, for one, I mean, she never turned the television off. So when we were kids, everything was the TV. Everything was around the television. You know, even at holidays, on the little TV cart, it was pulled to the table, and who'd be watching baseball or football, whatever was on at the time. And anyway, so I remembered being married the few times that I was and making that, like, the end of the night deal. You know, we'd do our kids were in bed, they were everybody's bathed, and we're going to get ready for first, the news, the local news. And it was usually like from 10 to 11. And then 11 was like late night, whatever, David Letterman or whoever was on. And we'd actually get like all ready for that, like it was a date or something. And we'd actually, and we'd do our dinner and then our dessert. We'd have our dessert before bed. And we're all ready and we're all cuddled and the pillows are up. And we got the blankets on, the television's right at the foot of the bed. And we put on the news. And while we're watching the news, you know, we're getting agitated. We're feeling agitated. Or we're feeling happy because something great happened. And it came to me that that is the soap opera that is an outpicturing of what we've been experiencing all day that we couldn't release because of opinions, because of doubt, because of fear, because of, you know, no freedom to be ourselves, whatever, because we have to compromise. But we actually turn that TV on as a release valve. And when we put that TV on, we actually get the chance to express ourselves where we couldn't before. We couldn't, you know, get angry because that guy just, you know, cut that guy off and there was an accident. Or we couldn't feel happy because, look, she got engaged. Oh, how beautiful. And so I realized that I don't do television. I don't do movies. Because I kind of came to realize that that's just me outpictured, and that every situation that I'm in is a soap opera. It's an opportunity for me to see in that experience what I couldn't see if that other person was there. And it goes back to the same thing that I started with, that I can't see my love nature unless he shows up. So I can't see my doubt and my fear unless that happens. So the stage is set perfectly for me in every moment, and I can call it my job, you know, my employer, he's doing it again, or I can put on afternoon news and look, oh, look, that's the same thing that's happening to me, or I can look at my neighbor and he's getting me frightened, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't believe this is happening to me, or I can see that movie and who's cutting up who, and oh my God, that's terrible. But all that is only happening because I can't express it in me, through me. I'm afraid to allow myself rites of passage. And that's part of this allowing thing, because if God, if the giver of all, if creation himself wants to give me love, and I am not allowing myself to feel the fear that's in the way, to let that go so that the love can be coming through me, and I pack it in the back of my closet within, and I say, I can't look at that. Okay, God, I'm free. If it's not flowing through you easily and you're not seeing the manifestation of it as love and peace, it's not, you're not free. So all of these vicarious happenings are happening in what appears to be outside of us so that we don't have to claim it. But until we claim it as our own, it's not going to go away. We're going to see it repeatedly over and over in our perceptual reality. So every relationship that we have is based on the core relationships that we had, the fundamental, foundational relationships of mommy, daddy, God, love. They were our gods. What they taught us about love, what they taught us about self, what they taught us about fear is what we had become. And we then became a program response machine, and everything that we were and are based on what was fed in that so-called program or computer or whatever. It was a matrix of some kind of an idea other than what we were, what we are. And so the Course in Miracles is so beautiful because it's all about the unlearning, the relearning, and then letting it all go. So I had to unlearn what I had been taught. And even though there's a part of me that was so evolved, even as a baby, because I knew that I couldn't buy into that their nonsense. So I rejected it from an early stage, and I became more dependent on a God or an idea in me that was more powerful than they could ever be. And so that's how I survived. But many of us can't, because many of us still believe that mommy and daddy gods are everything, and that they're real, and that they have power, and that they do determine what their children are, good, bad, or indifferent. Anyway, so every relationship that I have is based on that. And I heard a song today that was so, you know, again, everything is synchronistic for me because I know that it's only my mind revealing it to my revealing to myself what I feel about me. So I hear a song, and it's two guys, it's a guy and a girl. It's one of the blues songs. I'm not blues, the Heart and Soul station on Sirius. And they're actually singing back and forth together, you know, at each other. And he's saying, I'm not your mother. I mean, I'm not your dad. I'm your lover. And she's saying, I'm not your mom. I'm your girl. And basically that's it, you know. I am not here to help anybody, to heal anybody, to fix anybody. I'm here to be loved. I'm here to love. And so my relationships have to reflect that. If they're reflecting anything but that, I'm not present. I'm in the program. And if I'm in the program, what will happen is exactly what I claimed from the beginning. I will come together with that aspect of me in absolute perfected love. No bodies, no differences, complete union and joy and sacredness. And then all of a sudden, I will see something about him that triggers a response about what I was raised to believe, and I'm going to turn my head. He will do the same until we turn in opposite directions and we leave. And that's everything. It's not only about love relationships. So if a job isn't working, it's because it took us back to a time and space where we were thinking we were being loved, and what was happening was that we were being taught how not to love, how to fear. So it's very powerful for me to remember, be gifted enough in my understanding to remember that the only thing that's happening is love and fear. And if I at all am looking to challenge anyone, reject anyone, defend myself, look elsewhere, it's all about the program. It's not about truth. It's not about the sacredness of being one with God. So this whole concept of the world being a stage really, for me, has come to be. I mean, everything in my perceptual reality shows me exactly how far I have awakened in consciousness. It's really funny. Again, everything. I'm leaving the gym, and a lady who I haven't spoke to for a long time, a good friend, she was like my only really close spiritual friend because I'm really much a loner. And her name is Rose, and she texted me as I was coming from the gym, and I was like, wow. And as soon as I turned the radio on, the song that was playing is A Rose by Any Other Name. And it just kept on saying, a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. And I'm, you know, giggling. And I'm texting her. I'm trying to record it because, I mean, and she's going, oh, my God, karma, you know, cause and effect, the same is happening in the same moment. But when you really start seeing that that's happening 24/7, you're only ever seeing what you feel and think. So I was thinking of rose, and rose is so symbolic for my sacred union that I'm having with an aspect of me that I believe on some deep level is the one that best represents the truth of me and God in love. And it's all about a rose. So it not only was Rose contacting me, who hasn't contacted me forever, but the song's playing, and that's the remembrance of the sacred union. And this show tonight is going to be the Satsang with Ananda and the Sacred Union Realized. So, again, it's pretty quiet. That's what happens. You know, I'm very, very clear that, you know, unless aspects of me are open to completely giving up the world and realizing that there's nothing out there but reflections, that the only true state of being is love, and sometimes it is absolutely alone in the physical body. And for me, that's divine because I know that I can never be alone because I am one with everyone. And it's all now, for me, fine-tuning. It's about really fine-tuning that radio station that it is so exactly on the mark that all I see is heaven itself. All I know is love itself. And the only way that can happen is if I let go of every idea that I ever had about what all of this is for. To really be in the simplest resonance, the purest, highest octave of being. You know, it's really funny, but I took opera classes in college. I mean, I was a singer all my life, and I just thought I should learn something about theory. So I did some opera classes. And the color tora, which is the highest frequency of expression through an operatic performer, actually breaks glass. It has that much power in it, and I didn't realize it till just now. Its frequency becomes that much powerful that it can actually shatter form. And I don't know what that's all about. It just came through, and I'm going to have to really ask for more on that, but it really feels powerful. Like as if when somebody's screaming or yelling, the impact it can have on humanity, on itself, outpictured, how it could actually cause great harm in the physical structure or the temple of the holy God I am. And so that for me, again, it's being ever vigilant, knowing that there is nothing to do but be feminine, to be the divine feminine, to be the receptive principle so that God can give me everything. And when I say that, it's so big. It's not about the materialization of things and, you know, people and places. It's just such a clear, clean remembrance of what it was like to be one with God, to be one with love. You know, it's not about gathering things. It's not about, you know, accomplishing things. I've been so blessed in that I've had every opportunity this lifetime to express whatever desire to come through me with art, with, you know, writing, with theater, with anything. You know, anything I wanted came through me, and there was something about me that let it ride, that I did not resist for the most part. And I still don't. You know, my love nature is very, very powerful. And I think that anyone who meets me on that level, and not the me that's, you know, Ananda, but the me that is the receptive angel for God, really is never the same. And I mean that in the humblest of ways, because my intent is so to give love in the highest, to be a transformer, to actually be a channel for such deep, unconditioned love. And I hope that anybody who's listening that feels that and knows that, and knows that, you know, that is their very true nature, that what they're hearing and feeling in this moment as I express myself is really who they are, that we are all gods. We are capable of any imagined state, and be it negative, be it positive, it doesn't matter. You know, it does matter, as a matter of fact. What I focus on, I give rites of passage through me, and it could be very well a negative state. But again, not to judge it. Not to devalue who I am by saying, oops, you did something really bad there. You did something really bad, and you know what? You better punish yourself. You better just realize that you're a nothing. You better just end it. That is such hogwash. That is so not the truth of our being, because God is all there is, and God is infinite righteousness, right consciousness. I keep thinking about, you know, a lot of people that I've met over the years, aspects of me that wanted to hold on to religion, and they were me, you know, all aspects of me, that would say, you know, you'll see Judgment Day, you know, you're not saved. And I'd say, Judgment Day is God opening his arms and saying, my baby's home. He's home. Look at him. He's beautiful. Ram Dass had shared that in his audio last night, that his guru, which he was fortunate to open up to, I guess on some level, sent him away. And he was like, how could you send me away? You know, I'm scared. I can't go back in that world, which is an honor of love. I mean, I say that all the time, which I have to stop saying, because that does stop the materialization of form in your reality, because you're a floater and you're in so much love, but you can't, you know, I drop water all the time. I'm constantly dropping things because I'm not grounded, because I keep saying, why am I here in the earth? We're here to fully actualize God I am. So that's the only issue that I have right now that I'm working through. I got to balance the in-breath, out-breath. Anyway, so Ram Dass was saying that his guru sent him away. And he was like, oh my God, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm so imperfect. I'm so imperfect. And his guru just got up and started walking around, looking at him and checking him out. And he says, what are you doing? Why are you looking at me? And he said, you look perfect to me. And that's the truth. We are perfected states of being if we just allow it to be what it is and stop getting in God's way. Because in truth, we are God. There is not even a persona called Ananda. It's just a little goblet that God's holding for the moment that he's drinking some wine from. You know, and I don't want to give him indigestion. I don't want to cause him harm in any way by thinking that he is anything but the infinite field of love. And I do that. We do that to ourselves. You know, we cause ourselves, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to get it? I got to work. I got to fix this. I got to do that. And I always share that when I was teaching Course in Miracles early on, there was always this one lady, Carol, who had everything. I mean, she was so rich and she was a hoarder. You know, she would just keep bringing things in and she wouldn't breathe out. She'd just breathe in. And I said to her, Carol, come on, open up your heart. And she'd say, Ananda, what are you talking about? You know, I had to work hard for what I got, I have. And I'd say, what do you mean you had to work hard? It's just God giving it to you. You'd accept it or refuse it. Obviously, you know how to receive it. And, you know, she couldn't get that. And she said, but Ananda, you have a husband. And I would say, and I used to say all the time, if a husband is your God and that's your source of revenue and love and stuff, then why don't you have one? You know? Because anything that we make a God becomes it. If there's one message that I think I'd like to get across tonight that maybe I've said a zillion times to myself that I maybe need to hear again, is that there is nothing outside. Nothing gives you anything. That, and I share this often, and I used to say it to, I try to make it as practical as I can, because it comes through me sometimes, it's abstract, and, you know, aspects of me are looking at me and saying, what is she saying? So I said, okay, let me make it easy for you. It's the end of the week. There's one guy said, no matter what I do, Ananda, I never get the money I'm worth. And I'd say, okay, it's the end of the week. So you go to this guy and you go pick up your money because he's a contractor, so he has different jobs. And the guy's always complaining about how much it is, so he's trying to get it cheaper. And this guy always says, okay, all right, I'll give it to you for, like, you know, cheaper. And he says, why do I have to do that? And I said, okay, the truth of the matter is, you are he is not giving you anything. It's you giving you the check. It's you working for you. There's really not even any job going on. This is all happening in your mind. So what do you think that you're trying to teach yourself by giving him the money to give you back, and it's always less than you gave him? And he was like, wow. When you realize that you're paying you, loving you, giving you through vicarious mindsets called others, what you feel worthy to receive. And if it's not the richest experience ever, it's because you are constricting and not allowing your lover, the groom of all grooms, to give his bride her full Monty, that you are keeping it from yourself. And that's the lover, that's the money, that's the possessions, that's the girlfriends, that's the body type. Everything is as you will accept it to be. And so I know that when I'm doing a talk show, I'm just talking out loud, and God is really talking, and I'm really listening now. And I'll only accept it in the language that I understand. And if that language is poverty, then I will hear a poor God. If that language is insecurity, then I'm not going to feel as loved as I could feel loved. So it's all about what I am willing, free will, what I am willing not to do, what I am willing to receive. It's there. Everything that you've ever dreamed of being made known in your reality is already there. The perfect body, the perfect time space, the perfect relationship, the perfect creative expression, because it's all creative expression. The creative force is within. The lover is within. The financial sustenance, the money, the source of buying things is already within. I went into, which I shared on the Facebook the other day, that I went into Starbucks really fast. I had to do something, and I just wanted to pick up a coffee and a bagel. And I wanted to be outside because it was a beautiful evening. And there was a place where I could go, an outside cafe, which didn't have what I wanted, so I was going to carry it out. And I run in there, and there's this man in front of me online, and he's big, like 6'4". And his energy was probably the best I've seen in years. I mean, felt in years. It was a perfect representative of the energy I was in that night. And I just knew they was going to buy me my tea and my bagel. And he goes and sits down, and the girl says to me, it's paid for. And I went, oh, my God, you know. But the reality is who gave it to me? Who finally said you're worthy to receive, Ananda? And it may look like it's a nothing, a bagel and a cup of tea. What was it, $5? But it was everything, because I finally get what I'm teaching. I finally get what's being taught to me, through me, at me, from me. And I was like, oh my God, because when I walk into a room, I know it's my room. When I pick up a book, I know I wrote that book. It's just because it has somebody else's name on it. That's the scam. The scam is, you're actually devaluing yourself so much that you're pretending there's an employer that has to give you a paycheck. That there's a man that's going to make you feel like a woman. that there's a diet that's going to make you more beautiful. And the truth of the matter is, it's all you. Giving to you by allowing the giver of all to give and you're receiving, or taking from you by you constricting and not letting that baby give birth through you. You can't let the birth that wants to give birth through you happen. So you constrict, and the pain and the frustration and the doubt set in, and now you're back in the illusion. I am a body. Of Course in Miracles, one of its first lessons is, I am not a body. I am free. I'm as free as God wants me to be. And the only way that I could be that is to see it, feel that, and let it be. So when I'm given an idea now, I just let it be. Whether it be positive or negative, because if I let it be, no matter what it is, it will come through me, and I'll see it. And if it resonates as right for me, it'll stay. And if it's not resonating as I am, it'll leave. It's as simple as that. That everything in my perceptual reality will tell me if I'm holding back or I'm releasing. If I'm in pain and suffering, it has nothing to do with disease that is real in the body. It's only happening because I have some kind of constricted state in my physical, what turns out to be not physical, it's just mental state of doubt and fear. And I don't care if it's cancer, I don't care if it's what people say, I have a terminal disease. You have a terminal thought process. You have an old program that you're not letting go of. So let it be. Let it be. The giver of all is ever present. It hears, it knows itself only through you. It wants to make known through you everything that you were ever made to experience. Don't judge it. Let it be. Allow it to come through you, then at you. Be in gratitude, and then let it be what it's meant to be. Because as soon as I hold on to it, I'm in pain. Pain and suffering. Good day, bad day. Love, hate. 2 minutes left, and I want to thank you, Tawanda. I see you being here, and I hope that you're going to be a guest on the show one day, because you're a beautiful aspect of my heart, and I love you so dearly. And I really believe that we're all waking up. It's not just Ananda. That we're waking up God. And God's saying, I really want to party now. I really want to come to life through you. Let me be. Let me be who I am. Not what man has made me not that I wasn't. Made me to be that I wasn't. You know, a judgmental, fear-based. God, my time is up for tonight. Be who you are, you holy child of God. I love you.